blinded by the light, and you're blinded by the light right now because I don't have it turned on. I wanted to twist this lesson around a little bit. Abe talked about the rising of the sun. Okay. Everything that we read from Scripture, you go back even into the very beginning of the Old Testament, the very beginning of Genesis, what does it talk about? Within three verses, it talks about God creating the light and the darkness and that separation. And from there on, everything that was talked about the light was good things, revealing, just like what I talked about on the Lord's table this morning. If the fact that you can see me, I can see you, it's all because of light. Well, what is true light? Well, that's what Abe talked about in his lesson from the book of or chapter 1 of John. Talking about Jesus was that true light. Not just visible light, but He was that true light. Again, most newer translations of the Bible will capitalize light when it's talking about Jesus there. We could have talked about what you've probably heard lessons before, and they brought up in his lesson about Paul being blinded by the light. He was doing everything that he could as a very faithful, very well-trained Jew to take care of this light pollution that he was seeing. This is not... These people are doing something wrong. This is unacceptable. We need to do away with it. Until Christ appeared to him in such an impactful way that he knew what he was persecuting was not right. I've got a lot of things going against me today on time. So Glendon's... I think he was just asking Edith what time it was. So I'm just going to make sure we get going here. So four things I want to focus on today. Keep this idea on there. I went ahead and just left the blinded by the light in all the slides of the presentation this morning for us to think about. Keep that in the back of your mind. But today's focus, I want to focus on the true light. I want to focus on light pollution. They brought this up. We're going to be dealing with that. The black marble. Some of you might know that. I know a few people in the room that if I say that word to, they'll know what I'm talking about. And observation. Four points I want to talk about this morning. Passages first, most important. Isaiah 45, 5-7. Seems like every time I try to go after a study to present for this congregation, I come across a passage that either didn't pay attention to or it means something different to me. Listen to these words. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. Remember when God says, I'm a jealous God, have no other gods before me? He's making a statement right here through Isaiah, saying, listen, you might as well make sure you don't even think of putting anybody even close to me because there's nobody else. I am the Lord, and there is no other. How many times does he have to say it? Well, apparently people are forgetful. They let things get in their periphery that they forget about. I form the light and create darkness. This is the passage that I alluded to on the Lord's table. I form the light and create darkness. Did God create darkness? Well, certainly He created all things, but darkness was separated by light, just like we talked about there. You don't have water. Well, I guess you could have water and ice. They typically do, but if you go in your freezer and everything's frozen up, all you have is ice. If it all melts out of there, you see it dripping underneath your freezer, you have water. So the transition from one thing to the next is evident by just how you observe it. Continues on and says, I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. So when we're talking about the spiritual aspect of blind by the light, we need to look at what the true light is. And certainly the true light starts with God. In Isaiah 50:10-11, who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of His servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon His God. That is the good side of things. That is the true light. That is seeking the light. This is where the lesson starts introducing some of this light pollution I'm going to talk about. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. As I understand this verse, it's starting off and it's telling us in these verses that this is what you should do. Here's God. Here's righteousness. Here is trueness. Follow Him. On the other side, you have people setting for themselves lights of their own to kind of see their way in darkness. And you see, as I understand this passage, that the problem is going to be that your light is not going to be the true light. Matthew 5:14-16, we've talked about this many times. I didn't deal with this passage a lot in my lesson because we talk about it frequently. But we are a light of the world. A city that sit on a hill cannot be hidden. nor did they light a lamp or put it under a basket. All you kids, all of us that have been kids, know the song. We love that part, hide it under the bushel. No, I like to scream that out there. They don't put it on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice some of the passages that I want to put up for you this morning. There's an indication in these passages that you have a couple different options. It doesn't say, let your light shine so they may see your good works. It says, let your light so shine. What I'm going to try to convey this morning is that we have an opportunity to have different colored of lights in our possession. We can have the true light, going back to the Old Testament, when they brought profane fire before the Lord. Sure, it was fire, but it was not authorized fire. We can have light that seems to be good, but that very light may be problematic because it is not the true Word of God. It is not true righteousness. And so, how is the world going to see us up on the hill? Are they going to see our light shining so they see our good works? Or are they going to see other works? Are they going to see the bad works too? So there's two things in that last segment there. Your light so shine before men, make sure how you're letting it shine, and then make sure your good works are what they're seeing, not your bad works, because there is a potential for that. Over and over again, you see this in the New Testament, mostly from about two writers of the New Testament. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So, do we know that there's going to be deceivers? Christ said it. I'm going to talk about some passages that He said that. We know other Bible writers did the same thing. There are going to be people in every single person in here's life that is going to be trying to tell them what the truth really is. Are they going to bring a Bible out and say, wow, this is what it says? Sometimes they might. Sometimes they might show you a passage and you're like, well, they must be right on target because they're pointing to passages. But are they locking in on one passage? Do they have that light just kind of a slight skew off of what total brightness is? This passage here says that they're a deceiver and an antichrist if they're not confessing Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. Some people were not doing that. They said, well, Jesus, like we talked about recently, Jesus is a good man, but he didn't come here and do all the things that you said. 1 John 2:7-9. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. Note that. It's another thing in these passages sometimes we skip over. What is that old commandment? Well, the old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Abe talked about the rising of the sun. So I wanted to try to put this idea before all of you as this semicircle. Christ's birth, even though he was eternal, as far as humans understand it, Christ was born. He grew, and just as Abe talked about, even in his younger teen years, it's like, Mom and Dad, don't you know what my business is about this? I'm supposed to be here doing my Father's will. He constantly grew before people, and he grew in prestige, till everybody understood by the miracles that he was able to perform that he was someone special, that he could do things that nobody else could do. Even Simon, when we see it later on in Acts, wanted to have some of the power that the apostles had, and they were just giving kind of a reflection of who Christ was. He was that capable. He was that strong. But as we get to that pinnacle, what Abe talked about, the rising of the sun, at noontime, the sun is straight up in the sky. It lights up everything. There's very few shadows. It lights down on all of it. But as we get to this thing that I've underlined here, because darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining, Christ is up there. He's shining. But now, as our lives continue on, other things will be trying to interfere with that light around us. Matthew 24:4-5, and also sort of in verse 11. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. So here's Christ up in the sky, as we see it as humans, up in the heavens. He's reigning with God. He's that shining light. God is that shining light. But all around us, now there's starting to be other people saying, well, no, I'm Christ. I'm this. I'm that. Talked about over and over in the New Testament. People claiming to be someone special who are not. And it says that they'll deceive many. So people are looking to those people with those lights that are kind of off kilter. Matthew 24, continuing on, a number of verses from Matthew 24. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise, show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So Christ's warning is about these things. He's let us know that these people are going to be coming around to us trying to deceive. We know from other passages when it says, if possible, even the elect. One of the major religions the world's known for the past 2,000 years, almost 1,500 years or so, has been a product of exactly what Christ said could happen. Even the elect, a church totally founded on New Testament principles, corrupted by these deceivers. Matthew 24, 26 and 7. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. So again, Jesus has told us when he's going to come, and there is going to be absolutely no doubt. We'll see in one of the last slides that I have on here. We will not be mistaken on who Christ is. In the meantime, we are to be looking to that true light, the sun, and make sure all those things around us are not distracting us. So what is light pollution? So another title that I thought about doing, but that's basically the focus of this, is blinded by the light. You'll understand it in just a moment, especially those of you that like looking up in the night sky. What is the two definitions of light pollution? Dictionary.com says it's unwanted or harmful light, as from bright street lights or neon signs. I almost wanted to put a picture up of Vegas because everybody likes those pictures of Vegas, all those neon signs, and they are neat. But I don't have a lot of appreciation for Vegas. It's just a place, the very name of the place or the nickname of the place is not one that I think we even need to have in here today. But I like number two's definition better. Artificial illumination of the sky that sets a limit on the faintness of the stars that can be observed or photographed. Put that in a spiritual perspective. If we're trying to see the truth of the gospel, if we're trying to see who God really is, all these little lights around us, all these denominations, all these people that claim to be Christians or they have all these other beliefs, or Hindus or Mormon or Muslim, whatever they may be, they all have an off-colored light. It's not the true light. And all those around us are going to affect what we see as truth. And we have to make sure we're diligent. Black marble. We talked about the true light. We talked about what we had just discussed here, the definitions there. What is the black marble? Well, in 2012, NASA released on December 5th, 2012, nighttime views of the Earth called black marble. If you've ever had time, go to the NASA website. NASA is a government agency that we pay with our taxes. Every time you see a space shuttle or a rocket take off, that's money coming out of your pocket. To give you thanks for that, they let you see big pictures on there for free. So if that's any consolation, you can do that. If you ever go to NASA.org, you'll be able to download some amazing images taken by this Hubble telescope, by some of the astronauts that have been in space. This is a cool picture here, showing a scientist, and you can just see down there. That's the scientist right there, so you can see how big the satellite is. And that's folded up. Remember, satellites, when they get out, they have those big arms that come out, and they get the light. They have to use light to run up there. Continuing on, it says that black marble, during an annual meeting of Earth scientists held by American Geophysical Union in San Francisco, the images displayed all the human and natural matter that glows and can be sensed from space. Remember, light pollution. And I just went ahead and put that. I got this from Wikipedia. A photograph of the Suomi NPP satellite in the clean room before launch into orbit, January 2011. All right, this is what I told some of the kids that I wanted you to pay attention to. And I think we're all kids as far as God's concerned. We're all His children. But Adam, Kara, Kayla, Andrew, all the kids in the room, Ethan, Dustin, Philip, James, Katie, Lily, all of us grown-ups can still be kids. It's important for us to look at things that are going to help us understand that God is real. For a Christian, most of us are very confirmed in our faith. We know what it takes to believe in God. The evidences are clear to us. But for you younger people, even some of you that may be Christians, sometimes this light pollution that's all around you is going to affect your view of God. I want to try to do things in my lessons. Abe's talked about it a few times lately, and it made me happy. And a number of you have brought up about that zooming out of the earth lesson that I did about a year or two ago. That was a good lesson for me too, because it reminds me of my place in God's kingdom and how big He is. This blackness that you see, I talked about, let's get back over here, that satellite right there had made about 512 trips around the earth in 2012. And every time it went around, it took a picture, infrared picture of the earth at night. And all those pictures were combined into a single picture of the globe stretched out. And I'll show you a picture here when we get down. It's a very, very big picture. So if you like big pictures from the internet, I told you NASA is a great place to go. All that blackness might look like a nice sky up there, and I kind of appreciate how dark things are on our board. I don't know if you can see anything at all there, but right above there is Lake Victoria. If you know where Africa is, Lake Victoria is the big lake kind of down in the middle, off on the right-hand side, on the eastern side. That's all those little blips that you see up there, look like stars. Those are clusters of city lights that are visible to in space, 512 miles above the Earth from that satellite. I said 512 times around. I think it made more trips around. 512 feet or 12 miles from the Earth's surface is where the satellite was. And that just shows the impact of humans on how easy it is to diffuse light. When you go out now, those of you that are older, when you were younger, do you remember going out and just seeing stars that just took your breath away? Abe talked about this in his lesson last week. You get down to Kentucky and Tennessee. He probably said Tennessee just because he likes the place. But you go down there, it's like, oh, it's just such beautiful. I talked to Mom and Dad last week, and they said, oh, we love going to Colorado because you go through Kansas, and it was just black, and you could see those stars so well. One of the things for all of you young people, and for us adults too, that I think so many people have walked away from their trust and belief in a creator of this world is because the evidence of creation is harder and harder to see because of the very light pollution that we're talking about today. Man's influence on the world, both physically, spiritually, and in the light pollution that we create from all the things around us, make it harder and harder to see what God's done. This lesson, I hope, will help you see that. So all those little clusters are little cities. All right, this is over top of South America. Up in the top-hand section, you can almost see, if you can see little clusters of light, that's some of the rivers that run through South America. And so I wish you could see this picture here. It's even more vivid, but on the western side, you got Peru up at the top. You got Venezuela down at the bottom. You got Bolivia and then Brazil off to the side. Look, a little bit more light than in Africa, and you would kind of expect that. Well, what about Siberia? Google Maps didn't even say Siberia, but the eastern Siberian Sea is right above this area. This is just a place of cold, mountain, frigid, just horrible. You think it's cold here and you complain about Roger and his snow? I'd be like a little kid over there. There'd be an old grandpa saying, ah, this is how it's really supposed to be. Frigid temperatures, huge mountains. But look, hardly any light. Uh-oh, now we're getting a little bit more. This is the continent northwest corner of Australia. You know, Australia, a lot of it's empty, but Australia's not a real big place. Look how much light there is coming off the ground. And I put one place you might have heard of down there on the bottom western edge there is Perth. Let's go to another place. Oh, yeah, we'd expect to see this. You know, we talk about how North Koreas aren't advanced because they have such a rule that the government will not let them do anything, and how democracies in the Southern Korea opens up so much opportunity. You see that line right there? That is the divider of North and South Korea. This is North Korea. It's in blackness. You talk about how much of a difference there is in the type of what is open to people, both for good and bad. And then this is the whole island of Japan, right there. Look at all that light. Almost the whole island is just full of it. And then I think this might be, I'm not sure which one that is. I looked it up, but I didn't put it on there. But again, just look at the light coming off those places. Okay, India, we're getting a little bit more. India's got a lot of people. I think they've got more people than anywhere else in the world. Look at all that light coming off that nation. That's almost the entire continent of India, as outlined there, just full of it. Oh my, Europe. That's tough to look at almost. Denmark is up there at the very top. France, Spain, Italy's boot down there. Just look at the proliferation of light. And I can't even tell you what the scale of miles is, but I can tell you, when you're seeing these big clusters, those are huge, huge cities. All these other places, just big, big villages and big cities too. Well, this doesn't surprise you at all, does it? Can you see where the areas of Cincinnati and Covington are on there at all? Right, it's really hard to see on the map up here. It's even hard for me to see on the map. Okay. Now, there's about where Cincinnati is. Here's up around Cleveland. This is in Pennsylvania. We've got some Knoxville, places like that. Look at New York and the whole area here around D.C. Just solid light. Lake Erie is a good place to go to. Talk about light pollution. What about the western United States? Why does my sister-in-law and her husband like being out in the western U.S.? Contrast. You wonder why you can see so much better out there? Abe thinks Tennessee is pretty good about seeing things. If you look at that map, Tennessee might be open, but I don't know. Compared to out west, there's an awful lot of light pollution. There's the whole thing. And again, like I said, it's so dark up here. I'm really sorry that you're not able to see it too well. You know those commercials that have been running on TV about their network coverage for Verizon lately? That's what kept going through my mind trying to put this together. There's the United States, North America, there's South America, there's Africa, there's all that European light that you see. I think that's India right there, and we've got Japan, thing that we focused in on earlier. And then right there is Australia. Big black marble full of human civilization, polluting light over God's creation. Every once in a while from our backyard, if the night's just right and the moon's not up, it's on the other side of the world, and the lights are just right, I can faintly see what you see right here. This is a picture of the Milky Way that some of you can even see at night. You go out some nights and you just see it out there, and it's like, when the Bible says the firmaments declare the handiwork of God, and I've got that passage on there in Psalms 19:1, just talking about what He's done, I really, really feel the purpose for this whole lesson was to remind us that we are being blinded by what is all around us. I went ahead into Photoshop as an application I use at work, and I changed the levels on this image and basically filled it up with the light pollution that you'd get. Isn't that about what we see most of the time? Look at that exact same picture being blacked out. We see those stars at night. Sometimes we don't even see that many. You're like, how? You don't get the thrill of what God's done for you. But if you go to something like that, just the amazing works that He's done is nothing to be thought little of. So blinded by the light. And I got to go to Hawaii when my brother-in-law and sister-in-law got married down there, courtesy of my mother-in-law. And we were very close to this observatory down there. This is the Mauna Kea Observatories. It's not called to rise above it. That's just to remind me to talk about what we're talking about here. The summit of Mauna Kea is managed by the University of Hawaii's Institute for Astronomy. Mauna Kea is one of the most important land-based astronomy sites in the world. Why is that? Well, I think it's pretty obvious. What do you see back here in the background? Below the observatory, the clouds. Clouds reflect light. Light comes up from the ground. The clouds bounce it back down. How many times this winter have you been driving around and seeing all these little glowing places all around you? For those of my age or older, you know that's cities. That's the city lights are bouncing off them clouds. That's exactly what we were talking about here. That's all those lights bouncing off all that stuff and just diffusing the light of God's creation. In Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31 is the end of the passage that I was reading earlier. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels, and a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Abe talked about in his lesson the slow rise of Christ. He'd been looking forward to it for the Old Testament all the way through. He was born with light. Remember, he said the wise men of the East saw that light and they came to seek Him. All of His life, He was the light of men. Everybody was looking to Him. John talked about that. Reminds us who He was. And that light rose and rose and rose until He was put into the ground and rose even higher. He was at the height of more than anything that we'll ever see. He is the person that we're always looking up to. And just like Abe said, you can't look at the sun. The sun will blind you. But remember, that sun was made by God. And that should be something that I wanted to really impress the kids. It's one thing the last couple of years I thought about. You know, your scientists will tell you that this Big Bang happened, everything exploded. You have to ask, how did that happen? How did nothing create everything? Also, just our sun is a big mass of gas that is burning in space. If a Big Bang happened, why was that not done away with? There are so many questions that when people pose this light pollution around you to kind of distract you from what truth really is, that you have to sit through church and like, this is so stupid, I hate this, my friends think this is a stupid waste of time. It's not true. There are people here that have dedicated their lives to belief in something that is far beyond what human minds can comprehend. Looking to the Scriptures, looking at science, and pulling all those things together will help you see and make clear what we believe is true. But this verse talks about all that light we see around us, all those stars, all the sun, everything that we look to for light is going to go away. There's only going to be that one light that already exists. And it says when Christ comes back, the clouds will show Him coming down because that light will be emanating from Him. So in closing, 4 points. I think 4 points. True light, as we talked about in the beginning, is God, Christ, and the Gospel. God is out of our hands. He is too much more significant, too much greater than we can ever hope to even come close to. Men have tried. Abe's talked about this. Through angels, even the glory of God was too much for them to be able to come back. Christ's greatness was beyond human understanding. But as I talked about a while back, this is the light now. It gives us everything that we need to know, and it gives us everything others need to know. Light pollution. Life, human wisdom, in quotes, opinions, personal feelings, selfish desires, and a lack of focus are the things that pollute us from seeing what is truly out there. What God is, what church is, what people that we can become, what a Christian is. All these things pollute around us. The black marble, we talked about that. The black marble is a program by NASA, but it's really God's creation. It's the home to God's children. I was talking about the kids. I said, we're all God's kids. We're all His children. It's our home. That place that satellite was flying over, that's where we live. That's where we're going to die. That's where our children are going to come from, our grandchildren, and our great-great-great-grandparents, all the way back, all human civilization have been on this place. And as we talked about the observation, those two places in Hawaii, observation is seeing truth. It's hearing truth, finding truth, living truth, and hoping in truth. Truth is very important. You want truth from your kids. Your kids want truth from their friends. You want truth from your employer. Your employer wants it from you. But we want to see falsehood. We want to recognize it. How are we going to know those things around us or those discolored lights that aren't quite right? We need to recognize sin and understand where we are right now. This morning, between the rising of the sun, who has not gone down, who's risen to heaven, and is there ready to be welcoming us to be in the kingdom, or welcoming us back to return, is always there for us. But I want you to all remember, and I need to remember this too, every day that we go to school, every day that we go to the store, we go to work, we go anywhere, things are going to be around us to try to detract us from seeing that true light. So this morning, I encourage you to think about your life, your situation. And if you have any needs, please let that be known as we stand and sing. Why do you...